Greetings, fellow classic TV fans. Lens master Johanna Siegmund has been turning heads with her artistic portraits for many moons. More than just a photographer, she's taken the practice to artistic new levels with her wonderful coffee table book, In Good Company, Notable People with Their Pets. We discuss some of her interesting experiences snapping away at prominent celebrities and their now equally prominent pets. Her enthusiasm for her work shines brightly in this interview, but having seen her work, I can tell you that she has every right to be, excuse the pun, doggone proud of it. Enjoy! Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the podcast the truly gifted photographer, Johanna Siegmund. Hi, Johanna.
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. We were talking about our Wordle scores right before we got on here. And honestly, I really don't play that, but...
I fell off the cliff. I was doing really well, and then all of a sudden, you know, squirrel, you know, something else distracted me. So
I know exactly what that's from, right?
Yes.
That's was it Up? I think it was Up, where the dog.
Yeah,
went.
I mean, it's, or if anybody who has a dog,
yes,
you know, it's their dogs are amazing.
Well, what a great segue, considering.
I mean, hey, how about that? I set you right up.
Like I said, before we started, I'm a fan of your work because, well,
thank you.
Number one, I'm an animal lover. Mm-hmm. Wife and I very much so. But we went to the Turner Classic Film Festival a couple weeks back and stopped by the Hollywood Museum.
Oh, awesome.
You know,
so
where I'm going with that? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that a wonderful exhibit? Oh, my goodness.
It really is. Film and TV families. I'm friends with Jerry and Teresa Mathers, and they were the ones that actually initially let me know that was going on.
Oh, yeah. He was there for the book signing. We had a big to-do there.
Right. He and my other pal, Kathy Garver.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And I, you know, it's funny. I know Kathy loved her Coco so much, and it was so sweet to see that picture with her and him no longer with us. But then, of course, I'm looking at Jerry's, and I'm like, okay, well, now I'm sure Run Tun Tun isn't around anymore.
That was he a big dog?
Yeah, I mean, it was a German Shepherd. It had to be because it was like,
yes,
Jerry,
yeah.
That's Rin Tin Tin. No, it's Run Tun Tun. And I'm thinking, some of the names that these folks have given their, well, yeah. Look, that's the beauty and one of the joys of having a pet is that you can name them whatever you want.
Yeah. Well, you know, speaking of specifically that, in my book, there's Ed Begley Jr. called his dog Bunny. Lou Parker, news anchor Lou Parker, called her dog Monkey. And I'm thinking, why are people calling their dogs different animals? Why is the name of the dog a different animal? I don't understand. It's very confusing.
Yeah, my dog Cat will never appreciate that.
Yeah, it's like a boy named Sue, a dog named Cat. Yes, it's traumatizing, I think.
Well, you know what some of the most clever names I've heard for cats or for an animal pet are from our mutual buddy, Harlan Bull.
Uh-huh.
He had three cats. I don't think they're all there still, but...
right. Emmy, Tony, and...
And Oscar.
And Oscar.
It's perfect.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's still in the names program. Arturo Sandoval, the legendary trumpet virtuoso, who's also in my book, he named his three Pomeranians Gucci, Coco, and Chanel.
Oh, perfect.
So, yes.
Of course. And I'm sure they were spoiled and pampered as could be.
Beyond measure. The photo, he said, we get up every morning and the first thing we do is I give them Black Forest ham. So that's what the photo is, them having Black Forest ham.
Well, you know, I like I said, I loved looking at your work at the museum. I'm going to get this book because I'm finally getting a coffee table.
Yay. Well, yeah, that's the right order. You need to have a coffee table to put the coffee table book on, you know?
Exactly.
You can't put it on the buffet. It's not a buffet book. It's a coffee table book.
True. And it's not for the bathroom either, folks, by the way.
No. Well, yeah. Won't go there.
It's called In Good Company, which is just a perfect title, I think, because...
Thank you.
You know, they are the perfect company.
Yes.
But you're an artist, and clearly, I mean, you've probably heard all the terms, shutterbug, lens master. I made that one up. all these, you know, monikers that you can have, but really, your photography is—it's not just portraits. It's catching the moment. It's artwork.
Thank you. Yeah, and I'm so glad you said that because that is exactly. I did not set out. These are not what I would call representational portraits, which is what most pet portraiture and. Just to be clear, there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. There are some really beautiful pet portraiture out there. But I wanted to do something different, and I call this interpretational portraits. They're portraits of love. They're portraits about the relationship between people and their pets. They just show this intimate view of daily life and all the little things that people and pets do to show their love for each other.
Right.
And it can be, you know, there can be very exuberant moments like the cover shot of hip hop art choreographer Dave Scott with Dudley, and they're in the air dancing. Or it could be something as really tender and small and gentle as actor Ed Begley Jr. kissing his bunny on the head.
Yeah.
His dog called Bunny, not a bunny rabbit.
Well.
And you know, the images try and incorporate a bunch of things like, you know, what it is we know people for. Like Ed Begley's is, we all know he's an environmentalist, and the pictures him in his garden. He grows food in his yard. So he's in one of his vegetable beds, his salad bed with Bunny, who's helping him. So they incorporate, you know, a little bit about the person and whatever cute little foibles or habits or rituals that people do with their pets. One of my favorite, there's a Tracy Gluck, who's a wealth management advisor for Morgan Stanley.
Yes.
She reads stories to one of her two dogs. There are two pictures of, she has two dogs, and there's a picture of each one of them. And the one with Scooter is, she's reading him a bedtime story, but not just any. You know how kids get under the cover with a light to read when they're not supposed to be reading, you know, going to bed. So the dog is under a tent of a sheet, and you can see her reading to the dog under it. So they're, you know, they're very tender, very personal moments, and they're very unique to that relationship. So there will never be two pictures the same because no two people are the same, and no two relationships with their pets are the same, and no two pets are the same. So there's a lot of work that goes into getting, before we even schedule the shoot, I come up with a concept based on information they provide for me. And when they approve of the concept, then we set the date.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, I can't just show up with my lights and my camera. It doesn't work that way. Yeah.
Right. Well, and I noticed that you had a background in theater and, of course, a multi-talented artist, obviously, but you're able to combine that influence.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. That theater taught me so much about so many things that I would never have thought applied to photography, and yet they do. One is working with a great diverse type of people, you know, very shy people, very, very bold people, you know, people who have great success, people who are just starting out, just this whole range of people. So it helped my communication skills. I directed for 7 years. And so that helped me also with my communication skills and eliciting from my subjects exactly what I want. It really helped with the entire production of a photo shoot, from the lighting to the wardrobe to just the color combinations in a room, you know, and incorporating the wardrobe into that and selecting the right props and all of that artistic thing that you are remarking on is in large part from my experience in theater, but also from the fact that my mom was also an artist. She was a very well-known sculptor in Mexico, where I grew up.
The work it's obvious that you incorporate that, and that's part of the reason I love it so much. Your book incorporates not only people in the entertainment industry, but, you know, from all walks of, you know, successful
right.
folks.
A lot of different fields, you know, astronomy, sports, politics, jewelry, singers, dancers, and all of these people. I call it notable people with their pets because they are notable in their field. They are famous in their field, even if they may not be famous or celebrities, you know, household names. Some of them are, like Ed Begley and Ed Asner and Norman Lear. But most of them are not. And there's a bio section at the back so that people are looking at something going, I never heard of this person. And they go and find out that, oh, he developed the method for weighing spiral galaxies. That's this astronomer, internationally recognized astronomer. So,
wow.
Way
to cover the bases, Johanna.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you. And, you know, it's been the response has just been so positive. I've already started working on a segue, on a follow-up for this. So
excellent. Well, mm-hmm. And of course, my audience, they're kind of fickle. They're about the title of this, which is Retro TV Radio. It's Retro TV. So obviously, when I went into the Hollywood Museum, it was like, well, it's just actors. And then I learned that it covers a lot of the other folks. But I do know one question that my listeners will want to know is, what was the most extraordinary experience that you had doing a photo session for an actor or actress?
Golly.
Besides all of them.
Besides all of them. Well, I think because it kind of came out organically, Norman Lear was just a remarkable experience. First of all, Norman Lear is possibly the most wonderful human on the planet. He is just such a kind, fun, gentle, intelligent, you know, visionary. And I was actually hired to take some photos of his artwork for a book that was getting published. And he asked his assistant said he wanted to meet me. I said, okay, sure. So when I finished my shoot, he showed up, we said hello, and we started talking about the kinds of photography. And I said, I do people with their pets. He goes, oh yeah, no, that wouldn't work for me. I hate my pets. I said, oh, I have the perfect concept for you. So when I told him, he said, let's do it. And so we pulled out our phones and we scheduled the shoot right then and there for a couple of days later. And he was so thrilled with the result. It's such a fun and very subtle, you know, because he's not front and center. He's like in the background with his pets. He's outside with the pets looking through the window at him. And he called me personally to thank me for the beautiful photo. And he has it hanging outside his home office.
Aww.
So, So I think that was very memorable, the whole, they're all memorable in their own way. You know, I did a shoot with Adrian Wilkinson, who played the daughter of Xena, the warrior princess.
Oh, sure.
And she had this tiny little dog called Tazo. He was some like a papillon type, little tiny thing, and ancient. And she said, do they have any special foods they like, that kind of stuff? And she said, oh, he loves watermelon. I'm like, oh, well, we're gonna do a shoot with watermelon in it. And when we put this plate of watermelon on it, I was not prepared for how passionate he was about watermelon. He just dove at this plate of wedges and grabbed the biggest one. It was literally half his size. It was just the most gigantic piece of watermelon he could get. And so little things like that. They're small little anecdotes. I did a shoot with Bill Peterson. He's a trumpeter, a studio trumpeter that's been around. He and his wife, they have two wire-haired terriers, Nick and Nora. and Nick just refused to be in front of the camera. So while I was shooting Bill with Nora, Nick came up and started licking me in my ear. So that was a little bit distracting. just very, very funny. And I did manage, of course, to get my shot with Nick in it too. So,
oh, that's wonderful. I was thinking, I'm asking this question, and that may actually be a subject for a whole nother book.
Okay.
In good company, and you had to be there.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, you know, oh, the making of, right?
Right.
Well, you know, the book, I should really, instead of just saying the book, I should say In Good Company, so that people who are just tuning in know what we're talking about. My book, In Good Company, Notable People with Their Pets, does have, next to every single image, there's a little snippet, a little blurb about, you know, behind the scenes. So there is some of that in the book, in addition to the bios at the back of the book. For, you know, there's one for everybody. And there's 75 photos. There's over 50 notable people. There are 8 different types of species. It's not just dogs and cats. And I have photographed myself. I've photographed over 25 different species. So very, very, and I want to do more. So if you know anybody that has a pet cow or a pet emu or a pet, just let me know. I would love to shoot with them.
Yeah. I was thinking my anaconda might be up for it, but I can't get it to smile. You know?
I've photographed snakes previously. I love photographing snakes. Do you have an anaconda? Seriously?
I certainly do not.
Oh, you tease.
I would be like, hey, honey, what happened to the 2 cats? Oh, I don't know.
Right.
There's a couple of lumps in George over there, though.
Well, there's what this one, I photographed this one. There is a snake in the book. It's a little corn snake. And her name's Petula. She's Alex Rybex. He's a musical director on Broadway. And she is so beautiful. Such a pretty little snake. But I've photographed a blood python before. Just, they're beautiful animals. I know people are very freaked out by them and they think they're slimy, but they're really remarkable and they're actually really shy.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's the biggest surprise when people touch a snake. It's like, oh, this is really soft. This is very smooth. Yeah.
Well, and you're right about the fact over the years, over the centuries, thousands of years, who knows, that their designs, their colorings are just spectacular.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of them are. Some of them kind of designed to blend into the dirt, so they're not very showy. But yeah, there are so many. The color and the markings are remarkable on them, yeah.
So they're beautiful and, for the most part, friendly. And I never really had that revulsion of snakes. My dad, if he saw one on TV, he was running for the bathroom. I mean,
I have a friend like that, too.
So there's,
but, you know, you're talking about beautiful, and this is one of the things that when I look at someone or something to photograph, what I'm seeing is the beauty of that person or that thing. It's they go, well, I know I'm not photographic. I'm not photogenic. I'm really ugly. I'm like, not to me, you're not. And they're always very surprised at how beautiful I make them look. And it's not Photoshop. It's the right angle. It's the right lighting. I think that is possibly the biggest talent that a photographer can do, is to take something and see the beauty in it.
Right. And keep it organic.
I mean, there's different types of photography there. Not everybody has to do that, you know, obviously. Photojournalists don't do that. Architects don't. Well, no, you know what? I do architectural photograph, and yes, I have to find the beauty in the subject as well. So,
yeah. Well, I saw that my former podcast guest, Dee Wallace, wrote the foreword for the book. Am I right?
Yeah. She not only wrote the foreword, she's in the book as well. So, yeah, Dee is... Wonderful. Dee is a friend. She's actually one of the reasons that this book came to be. Is she saw my photography early on, and she said, "You have to make this into a book." That was 10 years ago.
So that's about
it's
right.
It takes a long time. It's the scheduling that takes the long time. You know, when you're dealing with people at this level. You know, their schedules are there were a lot of people who wanted to be in the book and we just could not make the schedule work, or, you know, they were going out of town or a project came up. I mean, I traveled to Mexico for this. I photographed the former First Lady of Mexico. I went to DC and I went to Rochester. Do you know, Lorraine Feather? She is a jazz composer, singer. She's just amazing. And so I went to Rochester to photograph her. Between the traveling and the scheduling, it takes a long time. So hopefully it won't take that long for my next book, for the next issue. Yeah.
Great. Well, obviously a passionate labor of love, and you can't rush art, right?
You know, some people try, and I think it shows.
Of course it does.
Yeah.
And the other thing to remember, artists, is that it's never finished. The idea is to just find an interesting place to stop.
Yes. Oh, yes. Absolutely. You know, it's. I think it's a common thing for artists to want to get it perfect. And I don't think there's such a thing as you just run out of time. You run out of effort to try and change it.
And there's such a thing as overdoing it. And suddenly it's not as good. And it's just.
Yep. And then you have to start back. And that has happened where I work it. And then I look at it and go, I look at the original. I look at the work. And I'm like, no, let me got to start over again.
Exactly. No, it's true. Well, can you tell us a little bit about the Apex Protection Project?
Yes. Thank you for asking. I wanted to donate a portion of the proceeds to a charity, and I selected the Apex Protection Project, which is dedicated to rescuing and advocating for wolves. They have educational programs. And the reason I chose them is our world's problems are so complex. I really wanted something that was like, save this, it fixes all this other stuff. And the wolf as an apex predator, when they had the most famous example is Yellowstone. They eradicated their wolves and the park started to die. And when they reintroduced the wolves, the park started to come back to life. And there were numerous reasons, but bringing wolves back in was a very major reason for it. And that was a very clear cause and effect for me. And I liked that. And it also showed, you know, the educational aspect about it and letting people know that they're not these, you know, the movies and the entertainment are always portraying wolves as these vicious, whatever animals. And they're far from that. They're an incredibly, they are matriarchal society. They have hierarchies. It's just really remarkable. They're very shy. And they have a very important position in the world of keeping our ecosystems healthy. And sort of kind of in the same world, I feel like my book is about love and about inspiring love. Because when you're with your pet, you're your best self. You know, it doesn't matter who you are, how important you are, how much money you have. When your pet sits there and looks at you, you're just another person in love with an animal. That's it. And you would do anything for them. And it's the closest thing to unconditional love that humans have other than with their children.
Yeah.
And, you know, with children, sometimes it's conditional behavior. But with pets, you know, it brings out the best in us, and it brings us. It reprioritizes us and it gives us clarity. And they don't know from traffic. They don't know from a bad boss. They don't know from, you know, your mortgage. They're just feed me, play with me, love me. That's it. That's all you got with your pet. So when I created these images, when people look at them, and I've started watching people as they look at it, they put their hand on their over their heart and they go, oh. So I know it's getting, I know they're getting the feels, you know, I know it's getting them in the heart. And so I'm hoping that in my small way, this book helps us navigate through life. You look at this book and then you go out there and you're in a place of love and acceptance and tolerance and generosity and spread that kind of a feeling instead of this divisiveness that's consuming us right now.
Wow. Well, there you go. That is a brilliant concept.
Thank you.
And I'm sure that everyone that gets this book is just going to love it.
Yeah. Speaking of love, you know, Mother's Day is coming up. So that would make a great present for your mom because it'll last longer than flowers, costs less than a big meal, you know.
Yes.
And she'll have it. Every time she looks at it, she'll remember the love that you have for her because of the love that's on the pages.
I love it. Well, no pun intended. I love that.
Yeah, I love it. A lot of love today.
My wife has always been she's the Dr. Doolittle of the family. She can talk to them. And we have two cats with more personality than I could even describe. And for the first time, even though I've always been an animal lover, I haven't been able to get the baby them kind of talk. First of all, I can't hit the notes my wife hits when she talks to them, which of course they respond to. But my long hair 12-year-old kitty has just decided he loves me. And I've never really had an animal literally love me. And it's something that I am just enjoying right now. You know, I'm 59. It's like, it's about time, you know.
Yeah. You know, all good things come to those who wait. You know?
Exactly.
And with cats, you have to wait. It has to be the cat's idea. You can't. Cats are tough to shoot, too.
You don't choose them. They choose you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
I would think they would be tough to shoot, too. It's like every time I try to get, oh, my God, that's so cute. I got to get a picture. Sooner than I'm about to.
Well, you can't direct them. Yeah, you can't direct them. You can't have. So, you know, going back to the concept, when I get the intake, it has to be behavior that they already do so that I'm not trying to get them to do something that they don't already do.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, that makes perfect sense.
Yes.
that would definitely create longer sessions, I think, Johanna.
Well, and it wouldn't necessarily result in a good photo. You know, besides, that's not the point of it. The point of it is to find stuff that they do, that to find the language they use to express their love to each other and interpret that, convert that into an image. Is what I try to do. Yeah.
I love it. Natural nature. There it is.
Ooh, natural nature. Yes. I like that. Yeah.
Awesome. You can use that. It's off the cuff, too.
With credit, right? I'll give you it's like a with a hat tip, too.
Well, so, Johanna, how can we get this book?
You can get this book worldwide at any online bookseller. Anything, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, plus or whatever, wherever you're listening, whatever bookstore online, bookseller online you can do. But you can also go to your local bookstore and order it directly from them. They will order it from the publisher.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And again, it's notable. what's the name of my book?
We were talking about that before we started, right? It's like, whoa.
In good company, notable people with their pets. And also, if you wanted, to reach me, you could reach me on my website at johannasigman.com. Johanna Sigman, Siegmann. Lots of N's. N's everywhere.
Well, from a McCormack, there's nothing wrong with that. So
there you go. Yes. and I have there's a page with all of my interviews and reviews on my website. So if they missed anything here or if they want to hear more, there are a whole bunch of interviews going on.
Wonderful.
Linked on my page. Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, of course, and I'll leave all these links in the description on my podcast. I also do a little video version that I put on my YouTube channel. So, folks, you'll find all the links to what Johanna has been talking about there. Mm-hmm. And, I don't know when I've had a more pleasurable conversation. It's been
been
just wonderful.
And if you'd had an anaconda, I'd have come out there in a minute, you know?
Yeah, well, who knows? Christmas is coming in a few months. And, what's in the box?
Maybe not, honey? An anaconda. They get a rather large. A garden snake, you know, a garden snake.
And what's this flute for? What do you...
Oh, my.
Well, thank you again, Johanna, and best of luck and best wishes on your future endeavors.
Thank you so much, and thank you to your listeners for indulging me in my crazy ideas.
Well, thank you, and have a great summer.
You too. Bye-bye.
There you have it, another retro TV radio episode in the books. Pick up your copy of In Good Company, Notable People with Their Pets, online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or wherever books are sold. Also, be sure to check out her website, johannasigmund.com, to keep up to date with all that she has going on and coming up. You'll also find the link in the description to the Apex Protection Project and all that they're doing for America's wolves and wildlife. If you haven't already, please consider subscribing to this podcast and leaving me a positive rating and review. Also, be sure to follow me on social media at Golden Rage of TV on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. On Twitter, you can find me at Golden Rage of TV1. This is your host, Pat McCormack, and thanks for listening to Retro TV Radio.